Matthew chapter 5. I started to bring this little, we got a little, you know, I don't know if you guys do stocking stuffers, but we got these little stocking stuffers, several years ago, and it was one of the Duck Dynasty guys, and it's a little thing, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but if you press it, it has like these little Duck Dynasty things, and sorry, I'm just having a squirrel moment, that just came to my mind. You would have been really happy if I brought that this morning, wouldn't you? So what I started doing it is after I got it, I put it in Lori's stocking every year, and it's like the most obnoxious gift that keeps on giving. It's amazing. But I'll reference that in just a minute after we read, and it'll make more sense. Well, for some of you, it won't make any sense, but it does to me. Matthew chapter 5, let's continue. We've been going through the what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and we are back at it this morning. And I just wanted, some of you, I'm throwing a curveball because you're expecting us to jump into divorce today. And so we're going to deal with divorce next Sunday because we couldn't move on without addressing some things here. So let's look at verse 21. I'm reading in the New King James in my Bible. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you," and we mentioned before that as you go through the Sermon on the Mount, it's amazing that Jesus is referencing the old and what was said versus what he's saying on a different level. Look at what it says in verse 22. "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Verse 25, "Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny." Verse 27, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." Now, we spent two Sundays breaking down these two sections of Scripture. But there's just something that I have to go back and address this morning. So before we address our Lord's teaching on divorce, I wanted to point out a nugget of truth in these verses that can be easily overlooked. So hang with me this morning. And when I get done, if this doesn't make sense, then you feel free to come up to me and say, "Hey, Tim, I didn't get that. I didn't see the connection. That didn't make sense." And we can have a dialogue because I want to be able to communicate in a way that's going to be able to create a sense of freedom in our souls. I don't want to overlook this. I want to say that Lori and I have been working with and assisting people for close to 40 years now. We've spent countless hours listening to people of all ages express hurt, pain, and grief. One of the resounding challenges that we have faced and we still face is that the majority of people, please hear me when I say this, the majority of people do not want to deal with issues in an honest, open manner. I'm just saying that from an experiential standpoint. And I think that it addresses one of our struggles within our human nature. Let me just say it this way. Confrontation with the goal of resolving and reconciling issues is either a last option for many of us, or it's not an option whatsoever. Most people believe that they can just roll on and get over it. If I don't think about it, then it won't affect me. Now, one of the things that I want to point out, the reason as we go through this and the verses that we just looked at, what did Jesus say about, and he used it, but if you think about it, in all of these different situations and these challenges or these issues that Jesus is talking about, what is the common theme for each one of those? Please hear me when I say this, because it seems so simple, and it's one of those things that I believe it's one of those little nuggets that makes a huge difference. But what can we look at and learn from the thing that we can pull out of each one of these? Jesus is telling us, deal with your issues quickly. Now, what I love about the little doll that I referenced earlier is one of the things when you push it, it goes in the voice, I don't know if it's Sai or whichever one, it goes, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. So I started to bring that up this morning just so you guys could hear it and not hear my rendition of it, but I feel like I took the high road, right? Okay, that's good. Okay, how many of you enjoy watching my wife while I'm speaking? That's what I thought. Okay, good. That's good. I love you. That's it. Love you, babe. So when we're talking about murder, what do we do when we were talking the Sunday that we were talking about murder? We were talking about anger. What is one of the motivating factors for why most murders occur? It's that passionate emotional response. And so as we're going through the different things, when we're talking about anger, when we're talking about our mouth and our words and the way that we communicate, when we're talking about lust, when we're talking about all these different things, even when Jesus uses this extreme example to get our attention and he says, if you've got issues that you can't deal with, be better to just gouge out your eye or cut off your hand. What's the point? If you've got issues, deal with them. But deal with them sooner rather than later. Does that make sense? And so what we have seen in our lives is we've tried to stand alongside and help. And even some of you, you know that as Lori and I have spent time with you, we prod, we encourage, we challenge not to, oh, just put a little Band-Aid on it. How many times we spend time with people and there's this level of investment and the steps are taken and then it's like, okay, well, I've got just enough healing to where I'm going to stop now and it's going to take a little bit more effort. It's going to take a little bit more time and we hear, well, you guys are super busy, but those of you that understand management, don't you want busy people working on your behalf? I don't want a lazy person covering my... helping me with stuff. I want a busy person. You get what I'm saying? So what we wind up seeing is that people, you guys like that amen chorus? I love that. That's God's blessings. Okay? So what I'm trying to help you understand is that so many times, it's one of those things that we have a tendency to not deal with things quickly and properly. We want to put things off. And I want to read you these verses from John chapter 10, verse 10 in the NLT. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. In the New King James, it says an abundant life. In the NIV, it says a life to the full. Please hear me when I say this. We mentioned it last week. I believe that the thief is false teaching and philosophy. Obviously, the father of lies is the defeated one, the devil, and he's behind it. But I believe that so many times, the robbing or the stealing, the thieving that takes place in our lives is through human philosophy, worldly wisdom that goes or presents itself against the very things of God. And what that does is that affects our ability to experience abundant life. I do not believe that this abundant life that we're talking about is an exhilarating adrenaline rush, but rather an inner peace and contentment that comes from learning to live life as our Lord teaches us to live. In multiple situations, or what we might deem an issue, Jesus is telling us to deal with or address these situations or issues in a timely manner. We must learn how to deal with issues quickly. Most of us naturally, let's be honest, the majority of us in here, when it comes to something that affects us, something that we're sensitive about, something where we've experienced a level of hurt and pain, what do most of us have a tendency to do? We drag our feet when it comes to dealing with personal issues. These situations or issues can easily turn into an unresolved relationship or unresolved sin. Bill Hybels has stated that some of the causes of unanswered prayer, some of you, you're frustrated, you feel like God doesn't hear your prayers. It's not that God doesn't hear your prayers. Bill Hybels says that some of the hindrances, causes of unanswered prayer is, number one, prayerlessness. Second is unconfessed sin, unresolved relational conflict, selfishness, uncaring attitudes, and inadequate faith. But I highlighted unconfessed sin and unresolved relational conflict because in our personal experience, what Lori and I have experienced is that is more of an insidious effector in our faith walk than what we realize. If we're keeping up with the average that I've experienced in my life to this point, the majority of us in this room this morning have issues that need to be addressed in our lives. And we are dragging our feet, or we've already decided that it does not matter. And I'm sharing my heart this morning, I'm sharing my own life experiences, and I love you enough to call you out on, or, well, it doesn't matter, I'm not going to deal with it. Because it does. Human nature has not changed in the last several thousand years, so I want you to listen to David's heart expression in Psalm 32. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11 real quick. This is David expressing his heart and soul. Thank God that we get to see it and read it. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. I want to focus on verse 3 and 4. He says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, you shall not come near. They shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which have to be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Unresolved issues can plague every single part of our lives. Most of us have been through something in the past that we don't know how to deal with or allow God to help us deal with it. An unresolved issue can negatively affect your work life, your home life, your relationships, and your pursuit of God. We need to listen to what Jesus is teaching and be honest with ourselves about why we are dragging our feet instead of quickly addressing the issues in our lives. I want to give you three things real quick. This is what we all struggle with. When it comes to addressing or dealing with issues, most of us, we easily play the blame game. We say, I had nothing to do with it. It was not my fault. I'm not responsible. We try to shift blame. Number two, self-deception. We all struggle with self-deception. Well, I'm okay. It doesn't affect me in any way. Past is the past. I'm good. Third thing is the effect on closeness and or trust. I don't need anyone. I'm fine all by myself. Well, the positive thing about this COVID experience over the last year and a half, most of us have realized that that's not really true. We're created for relationships. Unresolved issues can create huge barriers in our lives that keep us from living in the freedom of our faith in Christ. Let me give you just one example. We could give many examples, but let me just give you one example real quick. Traumatic incidents that occur in childhood, such as a bitter divorce between parents or the death of a parent or a sibling, can leave unresolved emotional scars. Those who work with adult survivors of child abuse warn that survivors of childhood abuse often experience problematic adult relationships because experience in childhood trauma erodes feelings of trust and safety. Survivors often find it difficult to build healthy attachments in later life. Professional counseling helps survivors of childhood trauma understand the impact of their past experiences on their adult lives and enables them to move forward into healthy relationships. This type of impact is also true for adult trauma as well. Just trying to give you a little example, a little thought. So I got a picture I want you to look at. Tree experts, professional arborist. We have one in our church family. We'll tell you that often a small wound in a tree left unattended will allow fungus to enter and begin its destructive process. If the wound had been treated, the disease could have been halted with little or no damage. I believe that this is how it happens with us. We experience some type of wound or challenge or issue in our lives, but we think it is no big deal. We don't confront the issue with the goal of resolving or reconcile it. We just act like it's no big deal. All the while, it can potentially be eating away at us from the inside out. Let me remind you that our Lord's ministry was constantly challenging the religious norm because he taught inside out heart and mind transformation, not just outward presentation of deeds. See the first picture? You can see that there was some damage to the inside. The second picture, you see that it goes all the way down to where the root base starts. And it had damaging effects. Now, when you come to our house, you can go back down past where the fire pit is, and you can observe this tree because I had no idea that this tree was rotted from the inside out until we had a storm that came through, and the challenge or the situation that was presented in a different environment showed the reality of the weakened state of the tree, and it toppled from the top, and I still couldn't figure out. It looked like it was weird the way it was broken. Then when we went to cut it down, I was amazed when I looked inside to see how unhealthy that tree was, when, as you can see by the external bark, it looked great on the outside the whole time we lived at our house. Consider the words of our Lord and Savior after observing these tree pictures. This is what he said. We're going to read it in the New Living Translation. Jesus said, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites? For you're so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too." Why did the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the religious leaders, why were they so opposed to Jesus? Because he was constantly in his ministry And even with his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, you guys look at the outside, but I say to you, look at the inside, look at the heart, look at your motivation, look at why you do what you do. Let's stop looking at the outside of the tree. Let's deal with the issues that are taking place inside. Now, real quickly, what I want to do, I want to share a secret with you about the peace and contentment that I strive to experience with God each and every day. In my Christian walk, and especially before having the privilege of being a part of this Mountain View Chapel family, a lot of my involvement in churches in the past, I used to say to my wife, I don't understand why some people just don't like me, or why do I irritate people? Why do I bother people? I'm not talking about my normal harassment game. Some of you, I want to take that off the table. Okay, Kevin, you don't have to grin like that, okay? All right? But what I'm trying to say is I was dumbfounded because it was almost like, and this is what I've experienced, the highly religious people, all the do's and don'ts people that were measuring and they were looking at everything, what I began to realize is that they were annoyed at me because I live with a level of peace and contentment. That I wasn't manipulated easily by their standards or what they said. And let me just tell you why. It's because I strive, please hear me when I say this, I strive to keep my accounts clean. When I say that, what does that mean? I strive to deal with issues quickly and not drag my feet or refuse to address things. I've lived both ways in my life, and I can tell you that dealing with issues quickly creates an opportunity for abundant life in Christ within me. Do you know that some of the most miserable people that I have met in my life up to this point are church people? And I'm not throwing stones. I'm just speaking about reality. And yet we come to these verses in Jesus' teaching and we talk about abundant life. Where does that abundant life come from? It's not from all these external deeds, all these do's and don'ts. It's from dealing with internal issues and giving them to God and learning how to take steps to make those issues correct with other people. And then that's how we learn to live in harmony and unity with one another. It's not by dragging our feet or saying, no, I'm not going to do what Jesus says to deal with things. Even right now, and some of our church leadership, that you can go and ask them and attest that there are people right now that I am praying about and I am wide open. If God, by the Holy Spirit, through His Spirit, gives me the green light to go and talk to somebody about something, then I am wide open to do that because I don't want to hold back the power and the presence of God in any shape, form, or fashion. I've done that for too many times in my life. Now, the problem is, now that we have a church family with hundreds of people and God is blessing us and bringing people and there's amazing things going on, what I fight to do is, because I have a sensitive heart, I have to be open to God, because I can't spend all week long running around when somebody gets their nose out of joint just because they didn't like the way I said something. But if there really is an issue, then my heart is, I'm going to go quickly address it. Let's try to resolve it. Let's see what we can do. But the reality is, I can't make anybody respond to me. But I can choose to deal with my issues and be a vessel for honor. Do you know what that creates inside of me? Incredible freedom, incredible contentment, incredible peace. Unresolved sin affects our ability to live an abundant life in Christ. As we conclude today, I feel that it's very important to notice the sequence of Yeshua's teaching. Yeshua's saying some amazing things, and Pastor Chris and I, when we were talking, what was really cool is he kind of said something in passing about what I'm about to mention. I was like, whoa, I'd never looked at it that way. So it's kind of cool when you study with somebody else. It's a huge blessing. We'll come back to that at the end of the service for Bible study talk. Think about it this way. If we don't deal with issues quickly, like anger, if we don't deal quickly with issues like saying the wrong thing, running our mouth, saying hurtful things, if we don't deal quickly with the lust that we struggle with, isn't it amazing that if Jesus is saying, deal with these things quickly, go and address them. If you are about to go worship and you know that there's something going on, you know there's an issue with somebody else, leave your gift and go quickly and get it dealt with. Jesus is saying, if you've got these lust issues, don't put it off and act like you can handle it on your own. Deal with it quickly, address it, get it, and take care of it. Isn't it amazing that the next section of verses is dealing with divorce? Maybe there's a hidden nugget in this sequence. Anger, harsh words, lust, then the issue of divorce. You know what Lori and I often hear? When we're sitting with couples, we don't know how we got to this point. Perhaps it's years of not dealing with things quickly. There's a reason why Paul says to the Ephesian church, don't let the sun go down on your anger, on that passionate negative display of emotion. Deal with it quickly. It appears that our Lord is giving us a key to the upside down kingdom living. Unresolved sins, unresolved issues build and they have a deeper effect on us than we realize. Let's just learn to be honest and deal with issues quickly. Our faith, our confidence in Jesus, Savior and Lord, should be the motivating factor to get us to take steps that we would not normally take without His prompting. How do Lori and I know this? Because we're living out what we're taught. We're learning, and we're learning anew what we believe and what we ask you to do. Because we've experienced it and we continue to experience His motivation in our lives. And please hear me when I say this. If you don't truly have faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're not going to be motivated on a human level to do what I'm asking you to do this morning, because what I'm asking you to do is what Jesus is asking you to do. And if you don't have Him as your Lord and Savior and His love is not prompting, if His care is not prompting you, you can just sit there and go, nope, that was good, not taking it. I get it. But for Lori and I, if you knew our story, if you knew where she came from, if you knew where I came from, when God first asked us to take the steps that I'm talking to you about, oh my word, you want to talk about petrified, dry mouth, barely speak, scared to death, literally in certain situations almost holding each other's hands, because the level of confrontation to deal with issues was almost overwhelming. So I want to give you these things, these five things real quick. These are important. Praise God for these things. Belief, repentance, talked about last week. One of the greatest gifts from God is repentance. Forgiveness, abundant life, repeat process. Did you get that? Belief, repentance, forgiveness, abundant life, repeat process. Sometimes, six times a day. Thank you, God. Repeat process. Oh, man, fell flat on my face again. Repeat process. Jesus, I believe in you. I come to you. Here I am. I'm struggling. Tim, my mouth in the past. You think my mouth is bad now? Oh, my word, in my 20s. You said I'm sorry all the time, didn't you? More than now. That's true. You get what I'm saying? So the process of me learning how to not create issues and damage with my tongue was just like, I'm sure she got tired of hearing me say I'm sorry 20 times a day. Repeat process. Let me give you Galatians chapter 3. Write it down. I want you to read it on your own. Galatians 3, 19 through 29. And I want to leave you with this. John 14, 15. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Or you could say it this way. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Or you could say, if you love me, you will hear what I say to you and do it. I'm going to leave you with this. Whatever issue you need to deal with, Will you please, not my words in my heart, will you hear the heart of Jesus this morning when he says, deal with your issues quickly? If you say, Pastor Tim, I don't know how to do that, then you come find one of us. This is what we do every day of the week, every week of the year. We walk alongside of people trying to help them address and deal with their issues quickly. Doesn't mean it's not going to take a long time, but the responsibility response needs to happen, but that only happens by your choice. So, Father, we ask that your will would be accomplished in this family. And even as Pastor Chris has come to you earlier, Father, we are in agreement that you would use men, women, boys and girls, teenagers, college students out of this family to be salt and light in this world, Father, that people on the job, people in our own homes, people in our communities would see that we are not trying to act like we're okay, but we are addressing the reality of our struggle each and every day, Father, that you would flow through us, that there be a freedom. We're asking that your spirit would be free to work all over everyone that is within sound of my voice, Father, that you would be glorified, that you would add to your church today those that need to be redeemed. Thank you, Father. Let's stand and let's sing about his grace.